one, Not My Ghost, Not My Problem, we dive into paranormal activity, cursed objects, and haunted history.
We're here to tell spooky stories and remind you that sleep is optional.
If you like your mysteries scary and your hosts just a little unhinged,
you found your podcast soulmates.
We're here to haunt your earbuds every Wednesday,
wherever you get your podcasts.
There is no escape. We pay for the violence of our ancestors. Frank Herbert. Welcome to Grimly.
Engineer, but I would like you to just check my work.
Look at me. I'm the engineer now.
I think you're good. Dude.
What?
Hold on. Who was I talking to? One of my colleagues was in... Shit. Okay. We were just having a casual, like, after work dinner a couple weeks ago, and I was asking him about his, like life, and... He just casually drops that he was in the military at the time that Captain... Is it Williams was his name? From that
Phillips?
Movie? Phillips. Captain Phillips. No, is that the one... Is that the plane
That's
one?
That's the plane one. No.
Okay, hold on. What's the one where he's like the...
With the pirate situation.
Yes.
I thought it was Phillips.
I think it is. Who's the other one? We really should... I don't have my phone on me or else I would look. But anyway, the movie with...
Tom Hanks
where he's like the boat captain and then they get hijacked.
Yes. The other one's pirates. Sully. The other one's Captain Sully.
Okay, so it is Phillips.
Yeah.
He was on the team of people that came and rescued them.
Holy shit.
I know. I was like, Sam, we're just on casually,
right? You're just like, I've
known you for 3 years.
I've never pirates.
Heard this story in my life.
That's insane.
This is why you're just like, suddenly you're just like, everyone around me is fucking deeply impressive.
Yeah.
And this is why I have imposter syndrome. I was like, I make dick jokes sometimes on a podcast. That's what I do.
I often say he can get it for terrible people.
We all have our things.
We all have our things.
It was just like, it blew my mind. So
that is pretty crazy.
I know.
That was good.
I didn't plan on telling you that story. Like, it just, you hit me with the...
I got you with it.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh my God.
Oh, by the way. By the way, hello.
Oh, hi.
Welcome to Grimly.
Welcome to Grimly.
I am Missy.
And I'm Meg.
And we are two unserious people that talk about serious or creepy shit.
Oh.
Hence the imposter syndrome. But that was a great story.
It was, I wish I could recall the very specific details, because to be fair, up until I realized what he was talking about, a lot of it went over my head, because they're just talking about, you know, like squadrons and,
they use
language that I don't understand.
Lingo and like,
totally.
It's kind of like people like talk about like football, like sports. Mm-hmm. Although I did go to a Mariners game this week.
I saw that. How did it go?
It was great. They won.
Nice.
I had some great food. That's why I think you need to go to baseball games, is because of the food.
I like a baseball game and I like the food. The only sporting events that I don't want to go to are football games. And soccer I could do without too.
Yeah.
But like soccer, ladies basketball is fun.
Yeah.
Baseball is
fun. Baseball is nice because you don't have to
watch.
Well, you don't have to watch the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a very leisurely
sport. That's true.
Yeah.
You could talk.
Also, the seats we had, we were like really close. They were like $50 a person. It's like the last sport, I think, because there's so many games. It's like one of the last sports where you don't have to spend hundreds of dollars to be able to actually be a part of it.
That's a good point, because there are so many games.
Yeah.
That's so weird. I wonder why they do it that way.
What do you mean? Sports?
Yeah, like that many games.
It's
like these guys have got to be underpaid for, like, comparatively in professional sports.
Got it.
Per if you think about it, like, per
there's
game.
Probably a reason behind it. I couldn't tell you.
Probably aren't getting their bodies like abused as much as other sports, though.
No, it's... I think I've talked about this too on the pod. Like, it's one of the few sports I think men and women could do equally.
Oh,
because you're not really doing any like physical. There's not like that argument about like men being stronger or whatever.
Sure.
Like, you're just playing baseball.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Kind of gotten a little more
even. Next year will be a women's professional league. I've already talked about that too in the pod.
Cheers.
Cheers to the women's.
That is cool.
I agree.
Yeah. And then, what else? I did a lot of shit this week. I'm a little...
You pooped?
I'm a little wiped.
You went to a concert?
I went to a concert.
Tell me what concert you went to.
I went to Linkin Park.
Oh my God. Really? Yeah. That's fun, honestly.
I was invited, and so I was like, fuck it, I'll go. Like,
yeah, that's usually my thing.
They do, and I was impressed. You know, obviously, when the lead singers died by suicide, yeah, like,
oh,
10
you're
years
right.
ago.
I forgot about that, yeah. Chester.
Yeah. And he was replaced with, not replaced, but, you know, someone else mm-hmm. stepped in his role, and it's a woman.
What?
Yeah. And she's fucking good.
She what? Can like scream like him. It's pretty impressive.
My mind is blown right now. I did not recall. Rest in peace.
Yeah,
Chester is no longer with us. Mm-hmm. That it would be weird that they would still be touring.
Right.
And now you're telling me that there's a woman.
Yeah.
In
Chester's spot.
How progressive.
I know. And she's really good.
Wow.
And I think she did something really cool with like kind of the more well known like older songs. Mm-hmm. She would let the crowd kind of sing more.
Oh, okay.
Like she would kind of hold the mic out yeah. because everyone knows the words.
Yeah,
and it's like kind of a little bit more of like a in memorial almost yeah. because, you know, it's partially.
Totally.
And I just feel like they handled it. Yeah, it's like a tribute. I feel like they handled it really well. Like,
cool.
I don't know. I'd yeah. want people to keep going if it was my band and.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah, I was impressed. I was very impressed. But I am now very tired.
Okay. Well, we're going to just do the one episode
yeah,
today.
We're just doing the one.
It's my favorite. Let me just do
one. I know. It's my favorite too, honestly. Sometimes we're like, fuck, it's just to grind it out.
Seriously.
But yeah. God, there was something else I was going to bring up that I thought was really funny. Oh, the Mariners at Sea Witch.
Okay, yeah.
Have you heard about this?
No.
Evidently. There is a man, he has like receipts. He paid an Etsy witch on, obviously Etsy, to basically unfuck the Mariners, the Seattle baseball team.
He paid for a spell to help.
Yes.
I love it. This is exactly what we need to be using our magic powers for.
They did that. Amazing. The Mariners have only been fucking winning.
Yay!
And we literally are the ALS Snaps champions. And it's been 24 years.
Yeah.
So fucking pay your Etsy witches.
He needs to be sharing her at.
I know. Where is her at?
Exactly.
She needs to be charging more.
Yes, immediately.
Well, there's also a couple Etsy witches, evidently, that hexed.
Yes.
Cursed.
Yes, you've said enough.
And closed her door. Her store down.
She yeah. was like, "I got it's the heat's
the heat's on." Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, it is not uncommon to see jokes and lore on the internet about
Etsy witches,
and political affiliations, mm-hmm, and like mm-hmm, using mm-hmm. witchcraft for.
Honestly, I can't say I haven't thought about it.
Exactly, like whatever you deem.
Whatever you want done.
My thing about that kind of stuff mm-hmm. is I do believe, I think that, listen, I think it's possible. I think that like, okay, the same way you, oh
God, I'm going to piss some people, potentially
put
piss
that
some
close
people
to your
off.
Face also.
I'm going to potentially piss some people off.
When do you not? So I just keep just roll with it,
oh
babe.
God, like I'm like, I can feel my mother, my dead mother and my...
back of my mind like
really so like I believe okay so like Christians believe or religious people mm-hmm. believe that like prayer
yes
uncovers like, results. I believe that like meditation
manifestation
the secret your fucking ritual that you do for mm-hmm. your witches it's all mm-hmm. the same thing because it does work
yeah
there's
yeah,
something yeah. about like our brain chemistry and like this like right. connected consciousness that we have with the universe and
right
shit.
Whether you want to admit it or not
yes
yeah
so like I think it probably does work the mm-hmm, same way mm-hmm, any mm-hmm. thing that you put your intention to. Now if you put your intention towards something like this that would hurt another person or mm-hmm. would bring bad like I think the Mariners is like very harmless
yes
but like using it in a way that's like bad on someone
putting
else
some bad juju out there
I feel like then you're just gonna get whatever comes back
like, yeah that's always a good point
so
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I would not be hiring the Etsy yeah. witches to like harm certain political leaders
mm-hmm.
But I understand the desire to.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I do.
Yeah, just manifest that in your own. Etsy wish with caution.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Careful. Yeah. Careful out there.
It's actually a really good sagu.
Okay, great. What are we talking about today?
So.
I love a good sagu.
It's adjacent.
Okay.
You'll see. Okay. So some families seem to live under a shadow, their names bound to greatness, but haunted by tragedy. Across continents and generations, whispers of curses have followed them. Oh. From royal palaces to political dynasties to the bright lights and the hope for fame and glory. Whether fate, misfortune, or something darker, their stories leave us wondering, can a family truly be cursed?
Are you going to talk about the Kennedys?
Yep.
I was like, who is the most famous cursed family?
So this is our first spooky season October episode. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be fun to continue the trend of last year when we started with cursed movies. Uh-huh. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I thought, like, what's another cursed thing?
This is I'm already so
cursed
excited.
Family lines.
This is gonna be good.
Yeah. The Kennedys are in here, so.
Oh, okay.
Don't worry about it.
Not just a Okay, gotcha.
No. I picked three different families.
Oh, okay, fantastic.
It was more of a rabbit hole than I wanted to be.
Oh, sure.
Because, you know, I can't.
If family's cursed, there's going to be a lot of incidences to cover.
Yes.
Okay. Sift through.
Yes. There's more than I thought. This could be a whole ass series.
Again, I think all of these things are possible.
Yeah.
You do enough fucking bad shit, your generation, lineage somewhere. Yeah. I mean, family trauma is passed down. Why wouldn't something like that?
Why I'm bad juju.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think it happens more than we think.
Oh, dear.
It's funny because I almost did the Guinness family. I didn't include them in this one.
Okay.
But there's now a TV show on Netflix about the Guinness family.
Oh, really?
And I think a lot of it is about their curse.
Oh, okay.
Because evidently the Guinness family is a little bit cursed.
I had no idea.
Yeah. But so we're going to start with the Nepalese royal family.
Okay.
The Shah dynasty.
The Shah dynasty.
Yeah. So
I think I'm
kind of aware of what the happens.
Yes. I don't spoil it, but I'm like, I think I know this story.
Okay. So according to an old Nepalese legend, Prithvi Narayan Shah, the founder of the Kingdom of Nepal, came across a meditating holy man in a forest. And evidently this holy man was a big fucking deal.
Wow.
Like immortal, top tier yogi holy man.
How long? I mean, what generation? So do we know? Like
200-300 years ago.
Okay.
That's kind of what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, this is a legend.
Okay.
It'll come back up there. So the story goes two different ways. So the first story goes that the king offers some curd or yogurt to the holy man. And when the holy man takes it, but he then like spits it back out into the bowl.
Oh, okay.
And offers it back to the king as an offering.
Oh.
Because he's a holy man.
Whoa. Okay. It's like Uno reverse.
Yeah. And basically.
Gross.
I know. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think. If someone was like, hey, if you eat my regurgitated curd.
Baby bird. If you let me baby bird you. I would do it.
Like, how much money or like. What my wish be, or like, if they promise, what would they promise? You know,
there are worse things.
Yeah,
to do for money.
Also depends on how much, right? That there's a couple.
This all currently doesn't sound like he's done anything wrong, even if he does eat the soiled yogurt.
No. So he's like, no thanks.
He says no thanks. That's where we got here.
And evidently,
that's what did it.
Mm-hmm, so the other way the story goes is that he basically knocks it out of his hand. And the yogurt or the curd falls on this holy man's feet.
Oh.
And he's offended by it.
I mean, the whole thing is offensive, to be honest. He's like, I just tried to offer you a gift to be polite.
I'm helping you. I'm literally.
You want to disrespect me with my own fucking yogurt?
Yeah.
Ew.
Fucking dare you.
Mm-hmm. So he sounds like a twat, this holy man.
The holy man or the king?
The holy man.
Or just both.
They are both sort of cunty, yeah.
Not in like a cunty, like nail clacking way.
Yeah.
So the holy man is offended and curses the king and tells him that his dynasty will be destroyed after 10 generations.
Mm. Listen, I
specific
prefer my shamans and holy men not to be quick to anger.
So, no, yeah, I want them to be chill, cool bros.
Exactly. Mm.
Not for me.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we all have our limits, right?
Oh, sure. I guess it was a really offensive
so
yogurt situation.
June 1st, 2001, the Nepalese royal family, the descendants of the king from this legend, had gathered at the Naturahiti Royal Palace in Kathmandu. And according to the official account, around 9 p.m., Crown Prince Dipendra, who had been drinking heavily and using some illegal substances, entered the family gathering, the family like dinner, armed with multiple weapons.
And there was a lot of them there, like yes. A large family yes, gathering.
I have a screenshot of the family tree who was there, and it's most of them were dead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. This is the story I thought mm-hmm. it was.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
This is violent.
I know. So he then opens fire on his family, killing his father, King Biendra, his mother, Queen Ashirahan, along with several other members of the royal family. I apologize if I said the names wrong. I tried very hard.
I think they sound nice.
Thank you. So after killing multiple members of the royal family, he then turns the gun on himself, but survives in a coma for 3 days and eventually dies.
Oh, Jesus.
And it sounds like the reasoning behind this is because this Crown Prince Dipendra had fallen in love with a girl when he was in England studying, like at some sort of academy, college.
Probably,
yeah. He fell in love with this girl. She had some roots based in India. In Nepal is a different, you know, the, mm-hmm. kind of their...
Oh, are they beefing?
Not beefing, but when he asked the girl to marry him, his parents were like, we don't really love this. Because evidently her lineage was connected to more like the aristocratic side of India. And
interesting.
They were like, you need to marry someone that has more some royal blood.
Oh, okay.
Lineage stuff going on. Okay. It's fucking royalty and marriages. It's always something, right?
Yeah. Classism.
So evidently he was very upset by this. And there was a lot of pressure for him to get married because at this point he was almost turning 30.
Oh.
And which is pretty late to still be single in this kind of era.
In this culture,
especially if you are a crown prince and you're supposed to be king eventually. You're supposed to marry somebody, right? Kind of the classic trope. And so the theory is he got into a fight that night with his parents, whether it was about this or about something else, and that he basically just kind of snapped.
Yeah.
And just killed everybody, which is wild. And then there's another theory that maybe because King Biendra, he also potentially was trying to make the monarchy, the Shah monarchy, more of a like democratic republic situation where it was more kind of like how UK is now.
Yeah, exactly.
Where they're more like ornamental type of situation and having.
It's so funny. I think that's a great way to describe it.
You're like, whatever.
But I'm like, they would be so deeply offended.
Whatever. Fucking Charles.
Exactly.
Also, Prince Andrew's on the goddamn list. Suck my dick, guys.
And still in the family at events publicly. Uh-huh. Absolutely wild.
Yeah. So I don't really give a shit. But evidently, Prince Dipendra did not like this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Another cunt.
Yeah. God. And so this is the actual, like, screenshot of everyone that was there. And you can see the key in the bottom. Like, how many people he fucking took out at this dinner party.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Jesus. I'm like, all they all say prince or princess. How crazy.
I know. And the thing is because it was just, like, a family dinner.
Yeah.
That they didn't really have, like, security.
Yeah.
Like, they usually did. And it was kind of like worst case scenario in that sense, because there really wasn't anyone around to help.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So awful.
It's really awful.
So scary.
Yeah. So King Biendra's brother, Gnendra.
So he counts like a family annihilator.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I'm like, usually it's like the father, but.
No, at this point, So the king's brother, Gnendra.
Gnendra.
Gnendra is the 10th and final king of Nepal.
There's
a little bit of discrepancy there, because technically the crown prince, who when he was in a coma, was crowned
because his dad was dead
holy
shit,
but
everyone, there's a lot of people who don't like count that.
Because I don't think it should count.
Yeah, I don't think it should count because he fucking killed everybody.
And he was a vegetable. And
he was like, yeah, he was like, he was in a coma for 56 hours and then he died.
Yeah,
no. So he was a keen in a coma. Yeah. But so the 10th and
technically.
Yeah, the 10th and final king of Nepal, ending the Shah dynasty in 2008 after a decade long civil war and Nepal becoming a republic and no longer a living monarchy.
Damn.
That's a fucking curse and a half, bro.
It is.
And people, and this is kind of just like folklore for a long time, but then once this happened, everyone like, was like, holy shit, wait a minute. Yeah.
Pretty wild. Listen, that man could have just like seen, like knew that it was gonna happen. It could have been moderately unrelated. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But like he saw the future of like, this is, I don't know. Or did he do this to them? I don't know.
Like, did you curse them?
I don't know.
Which is gonna bring us to our next family.
Okay.
The Von Erichs.
Okay. I guess you don't have a family curse if you're not like extremely wealthy.
These guys aren't. They're more in like your wheelhouse of like expertise, which is wrestling.
Mine. This is a wrestling family.
This is a wrestling family.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen the movie Iron Claw?
No, I know
the movie Iron Claw is based on this family.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. What?
Von Erichs.
Oh,
so is that like
Swedish? I don't know.
We'll get into the fucking. Okay. Trust me, I think the name is a huge part of the story.
Okay, let's chat.
So the Von Erich family was one of the biggest families in wrestling. However, most now associate the Von Erich name with the multiple tragedies attached to it.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know anything about these people.
Okay, so the leader of the Von Erich family, Jack Addison, was born in Texas and had originally hoped to become a football star playing for Southern Methodist University.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and this is a picture of him.
That's a university student. Okay, he could get it. Like, that's not a child. That's not
literally every man this fucking next section, you're gonna be like, yeah, totally. So
no, he does have a receding ish hairline for a college man.
I mean, there's men that lose hair very early,
and well, some of them.
Yeah. So Jack's football dreams didn't pan out after playing for the Canadian Football League.
Okay.
Because I guess that was bigger than it was than the American football league.
Like, it's the same kind of football? American style football?
Yeah. Huh? Okay. But during this era, this is like 50s, 40s, the football league was more of like broken off into like different like sub football leagues. National Football League.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
There were divisions and stuff.
There's divisions and stuff, but it's all under the umbrella of National Football League.
Okay.
The Canadian Football League is like what America's Football League is now during that era.
Okay.
Yeah. So he tries for the Canadian Football League, doesn't really make it. But while in Canada, he began training for another physical sport, wrestling.
Uh huh. Yep. Big, tall, beefy dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense.
So in Canada, he meets and starts training with Stu Hart.
Oh.
Of the Hart family.
Oh, okay. Bret Hart.
And
Michael? No, that's not it. Brett's the only one I think I know.
Kevin? No, it's not Kevin. Dude, there was so many fucking... The thing about wrestling, let me tell you, is there are just so many subcategories. Everyone's connected to somebody. Someone has a fucking name. Someone does a name change.
It's like
there's
Hollywood,
so many
baby.
Acronyms.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's
just
true. They do.
Abbreviations, and everyone does the fucking thing with fucking everybody else. It makes my blood brains out sometimes. So
men do love an acronym.
They do, they do. So he starts training with Stu Hart. He also marries his wife, Doris, during this era. This is like 1950s. I'm doing a very brief history just to try to, because this whole family could have been a multiple episode. I'm not gonna lie, I almost thought about doing them as an episode. I got overwhelmed.
Oh no.
It's like I can't. So in the 1950s and 60s, Jack begins wrestling with Stu's wrestling promotion company called Klondike Wrestling Promotion, which then becomes Stampede Wrestling Promotions, I think.
Those are cool names. I like that.
I'm pretty sure that's one of the organizations that Chris Benoit wrestled with. Yeah.
What would you do?
I should have done that anyway.
So Jack, he begins wrestling with the name Fritz von Erich.
Oh, it's a stage name.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So he was
Fritz.
We'll get into it. Okay. We'll get into it.
Okay. He was also partnered up with a Walter Paul Sieber, who went under the name Waldo von Erich. And so the duo were promoted as heels, which are the bad guys.
Oh, okay.
Heels are the bad guys. Ah. Faces are the good guys.
Oh.
And they were supposed to be German brothers.
German, okay.
With a certain fondness to a certain Third Reich.
Ew, really? They were supposed to be Nazi wrestler brothers?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's a choice.
Wait, this was in the 50s?
Okay, well.
They do that a lot.
That is crazy, though, because, like, America did fight. Oh, but they're the bad guys. Mm-hmm. So we want to hate them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay.
All right. Yeah. I just spiraled for a second. I was like,
like, holy shit.
Okay, it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an interesting marketing tactic.
Yeah. This is him in like one of his promotional photos as Fritz von Erich.
You know what? Damn. Too bad. Too bad I cannot be attracted to somebody who even pretends to be a Nazi.
Yeah. As unfortunately becoming harder and harder to differentiate in America now. Like, which one are you? Are you a fucking Nazi sympathizer? Jesus Christ.
They do seem to be popping up like cockroaches. I know.
So, yeah, truly like the worst
cockroaches. But like America also hates Nazis.
Because everyone should fucking hate Nazis. Like,
when did we get confused about this?
Like, I don't know. I don't know.
They're the bad guys.
We have lost the goddamn plot. For lack of a better word. So Fritz was known for his signature finishing move called the Iron Claw, which is kind of what he's showing right here.
Yeah.
Everyone, like, this guy had like a fucking crazy, insane grip.
Well, he looks like he has an enormous hand.
He's a big fucking dude. And okay. Like, evidently he just had like this crazy and strong grip.
Okay.
And would use like his pinky and his thumb to squeeze your temple.
What? Yeah. That's a wrestling move I've never seen in the WWE.
They probably can't do that anymore.
Shit.
Yeah. And so he also has some success as a solo wrestler and as the Von Erich duo. So he's been a little bit of both. But the first major tragedy is when 6-year-old Jack Jr., their firstborn son, This is crazy. He accidentally electrocutes himself on a live wire in the snow and then basically collapses because he electrocuted himself. Drowns in a snowy puddle.
Oh my god, that's insane.
Insane.
Oh, that's so awful.
Yeah.
Six?
Uh-huh.
Jesus.
A little 6-year-old.
Terrible.
Yeah, so after this, Jack Sr. continues to wrestle and also becomes a wrestling promoter for other wrestlers, along with his 5 other sons. They're just popping out kids.
Busy. Okay.
Contraceptive is not her type.
He's very much her type.
Right. And so they all use the Von Erich name. Even though the Von Erich boys, like the sons, they're kind of all promoted as like good Christian boys.
Are they going to wrestle too?
Yes. They've got wrestling as well. So Jack, he's wrestling. He's also doing promotion in like Texas at this point, trying to promote his kids.
Oh, okay.
We'll get into that.
Well, that makes sense. But did they become
like a wrestling dynasty, like kind of like the Harts?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And some speculate that because the Von Erich name was continued to be used, even though it was deeply offensive to a lot of fucking people, including just groups of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
That the family was now cursed.
Oh, okay.
So,
listen, sure. Are you like there benefit was a... off of like? The pain and suffering of
yeah,
you know,
like even if you pretend to be the bad guy, even if you pretend to be the bad guy, like you're still
getting paid to emulate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see it. But then at that point, you'd be like, are all actors, cursed?
Maybe.
I don't know. I think it depends.
Leo for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. So Jack Sr. was said to run his boys on a very tight ship.
Just catching strays with Leo DiCaprio. He deserves them.
Yeah, for sure.
Sorry, say that last line again.
No, it's okay. What did you just say about Leonardo DiCaprio?
He's catching strays. Oh. I said he's definitely the cursed one. He's cursed.
Oh.
But technically he didn't play, and I'm not sure if he played. He did the
Django.
Django. He also was in What's Eating Gilbert Grape, but that was... That wasn't...
That's borderline.
Looking back...
not great. Yeah, yeah, but he was great. A child.
But so. Yeah, he was literally like 17, I think, yeah. or something crazy like that.
But Django, you're right.
Yeah, Django. He plays.
And then Christoph Waltz just must be fucked. Although he was good in Django.
He was great in Django.
Why they go back and forth.
Yeah, they just like, yeah, it's called range. Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Now we've complimented him.
Yeah. Hey, Christoph Waltz.
Oh, yeah. Actor. Christoph Waltz deserves all the praise. And Leo apparently has range too, whatever.
But Leo's problematic outside the movie theater.
Icky.
Yes.
Very okay. icky.
What was I saying? Okay, so Jack Sr. was said to run his boys on the very tight ship.
Sure.
And
five boys. You gotta keep them.
Mm-hmm, the six? Family. Nope. Because one of them passed.
Okay, so yeah. six total, five. Okay.
Yeah. So the family lived and breathed wrestling. Mm. Kevin, David, Carrie, Mike, and Chris all wanted to be pro wrestlers just like their dad. And so Jack was determined to make his boys successful in wrestling.
Sure.
And this is...
I had no idea wrestling had such a history like this.
Dude, this is a crazy fucking story. This is a picture of four of them.
Oh my.
I know. I was like, God, Meg's gonna need a moment with this picture.
Which one did Zac Efron play? That's gotta be him.
Zac Efron. No, Zac Efron should have played him.
Yeah.
That's Carrie.
Carrie.
He was played by, what's his face from The Bear? Zac Efron played this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, what's his name? Jeremy Allen White.
Yes. Jeremy Allen White played.
They got that messed up.
I know.
Because Jeremy Allen White could get it too, except it's a different look. Uh-huh, and he doesn't look
yeah.
like that
no,
guy.
No, Carrie is the hot one.
Yeah.
For lack one. Of a better word.
Yes. Okay. All right. Fun. These boys are in shape.
Oh. And they're all fucking tall. Like this one, 6'7".
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Why is he wearing a cowboy? What was his character? He's wearing a cowboy hat.
I could not look into it that far.
Was this 70s?
This is like, these guys, the Von Erich boys, they come up 70s and like early 80s.
Okay. Are they wearing little wrestling shorts? Most of them except
yeah,
them.
Little tiny short shorts. One of them is wearing jeans.
They, what do they call those? Hoochie daddy pants.
That might be the name.
I knew it. I was like, oh, she stopped.
There it is. All right. Okay. So masculinity and competition are the main energies with the Von Erich boys. They were also taught to never show weakness or vulnerability like many young men in this era.
Fuck. This does seem like a hyper-masculine time to be alive and also
a
place to come from.
Yeah, which might not necessarily be the entire reason for the tragedies to come, but it sure as shit didn't help.
Okay.
Did you just listen to the last podcast on the left? They just did the three-part series on Aaron Hernandez.
I'm not totally finished with it, but I was listening to it today.
It's giving a little bit of... this, like, they were talking about like how they were just expected to just play through injuries and just you know, suck it up and
like, from be a football fucking family
man, you know.
Aaron did, and
just it reminded me a lot of that.
Yeah.
Okay. These guys.
Yeah.
So the first big tragedy of this family, besides Jack Jr., the little boy, is David Von Erich, and that is the tall one.
Okay.
So David was known as the Yellow Rose of Texas, and he was considered the most talented of the brothers. He was the one that was supposed to fucking make it.
Okay.
He was the one that was supposed to be in the top league of wrestling.
The Hulk Hogan of,
I guess. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And many thought that he would be the NWA World Heavyweight Champion, which I guess is the biggest prize. The biggest belt you get at that fucking point. I don't know how big it is. But while on tour in Japan of 1984, David became violently ill and died. And the official cause was listed as acute enteritis, which is some sort of like intestinal inflammation. But there is some speculation here. So some people have talked about before he actually went to Japan, David, that he was having some really bad abdominal pain because he had gotten like a couple bad hits.
Sure. Yeah. I was like, it sounds like a lifestyle thing.
Yeah. Like during some like wrestling matches.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But Jack Sr. had this idea of like, if you commit to something, you have to fucking show up. So instead of maybe taking him, put the pin on some
down.
Stuff, slowing down, maybe going to a fucking doctor.
Yeah.
He didn't.
Oh.
And maybe something happened.
It's like sad because it potentially could have been like saved.
Mm-hmm.
Salvageable.
Yeah. So fellow wrestler Ric Flair
mm-hmm. who was like one of the fucking few people in this era that's still alive.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And Ric Flair has been in 2 plane crashes.
Really?
He's a cockroach.
Damn.
That man cannot die.
Oh, because they're probably flying private, like, smaller airplanes, right?
I don't fucking know.
I'm just like, what are the chances of that?
Yeah. Yeah. So, wrestler Ric Flair and others have speculated that maybe David's death had been drug-related.
Oh. Okay.
Which fueled decades of rumors after this. Because, like, the Von Erichs at this point, they're not the heels anymore. They're the faces. They're the good guys because they're all fucking hot.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, Daddy was the heel.
Yeah.
Sounds good to be the good guy.
But Jack never publicly releases David's autopsy.
Okay.
And David's 25 when he dies.
Sad.
Yeah. And there's a whole other fucking side story. Might have
been doing, like, drugs, steroids or something.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably... Yeah, he probably was. It was the 70s. Mm-hmm. But who knows if that's what caused it or if it's... Because I think there's been... Jack has said some... kind of mixed situation. He said a couple different ways that David died. He said that he ate bad sushi or that he took a bad hit. Mm-hmm. That he's kind of made up.
He wants
scenarios.
He doesn't give a bunch of reasons so nobody can pin it down and nobody can, like, make up their own.
Exactly.
Idea.
Exactly.
Okay. Make it confusing.
Mm-hmm.
That sushi thing feels racist, though, but whatever.
It does.
Jesus.
Yeah. Well, there's, like, also, I
guess...
If he's
going to have bad sushi, it's going to be in Texas.
Right?
Not in Japan.
7-Eleven. Yes.
Yeah.
Let's be real. Well, there's also this whole other, like, side story about, like, Japan wrestling, because...
Yeah, I was like, I didn't know they...
Evidently...
would be doing that there.
Jack Sr. had, like, gone over to Japan earlier, I think, in, like, the 60s, and it helped rebuild Japan wrestling from the ground up, because someone was fucking murdered. And, like, it basically just disenfranchised the entire wrestling industry over there. So he went over there and helped rebuild it. And that's probably why David went.
Damn.
Yeah. Also, the guy who found David is also fucking murdered at one point. There's 3 other stories within this fucking story that we could talk about. It's just, it's like, that's why I say, like, with the wrestling episodes.
Dangerous.
It's a deep dive. Okay. Every goddamn time.
Every time. Yeah.
All right. So the next tragedy is Mike Von Erich. Which is this one. Yeah, the jean guy.
Mm-hmm.
Not like, he's wearing jeans.
He's wearing jeans.
Yeah, he's wearing jeans. So Mike actually never really wanted to wrestle, but he felt pressured to follow in David's footsteps. Because now it's basically like, we have a vacancy you need to fill.
That sucks.
Which is crazy. So evidently Mike went to a wrestling match in Israel... which is crazy. Also under the name Mike Von Erich.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, Jesus.
So he goes to a wrestling match in Israel. His, like, shoulder gets pulled out of the socket.
Oh.
And has to have major surgery over in Israel.
Damn.
And while in Israel, he contracts toxic shock syndrome because there's a staph infection within his wound from the surgery.
Dude, staph will fuck you up quickly.
Evidently, his fever was 107.
That you are in so much pain.
Yeah, and doctors are basically telling the Von Erich family, like, go say goodbye.
Oh my god.
Because they just didn't think he was on surgery. Like, 107 fever.
That's bad.
That's really bad. Really bad. I think, what is that in Celsius?
Like, how couldn't they... help him? Like, how did this happen?
I mean, it was in the 80s. I don't, like, Jesus, medical intervention just isn't as the same, especially probably in, like, Israel. I don't fucking know. But evidently, so Mike is able to fight off the infection. He survives it.
Oh god, that's good.
But this causes major brain damage.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if you have a fever that high, you're, like, probably almost, like, in a coma.
So brain can't. Yeah, it causes brain damage, memory loss, and, like, just straight up emotional instability.
Oh,
and there is an interview he does after where he just doesn't seem there. It's really fucked. And it's like his dad pressuring him. He's like, you're fine now. Let's go do this.
Mm.
And, like, yeah, like, Mike just never really wanted to do it, which is really shitty and sad. Like, yeah. I think he wanted to be, like, a cameraman for the wrestling family.
That picture that you showed me is, like,
it's kind of giving.
Explains enough about the dynamic. He's the only one dressed like a normal person, and his brothers are wearing,
like, a polo shirt and jeans, and the rest of them are wearing, like, their wrestling outfits.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, Mike was just, like, doing it because his dad wanted him to, which really fucking sucks.
That's true.
So, unable to meet the physical demands of wrestling and struggling with depression, because even though he had brain damage, he continued to wrestle after.
Oh, God.
So, Mike overdoses on tranquilizers in 1987 and leaves multiple suicide notes.
Okay.
Oh. His body is found in a sleeping bag near Lewis Lake, Texas. Hmm. He's found by Kevin and his mom. Because he'd been missing for a few days.
Oh, I wonder how they found him.
I don't know. Crazy. I think, so the lake seems like it's pretty close. Because, so the Von Erichs, like, Jack Von Erich, Jack Sr., the dad, had, like, a ranch compound. Mm. And all of the boys kind of lived in pockets around him. Like, I think the furthest one was a mile away.
Got it. Okay.
It's just, it's crazy wrestling family shit, you know? So, yeah. So, it sounds like Mike was maybe on the property. And...
Okay.
Kevin and Doris, the mom, found
him. We're out looking for him.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
And he was 23.
Oh, Jesus.
And this is in 1987. David dies in 1984.
He OD'd on what, do we know?
Tranquilizers is what it sounds like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think.
I don't know.
He was also taking a bunch of pain pills to deal with just the stuff that happened after.
There was probably, like, drugs all up in that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, probably. I don't know, though. I wouldn't want to speculate.
So they would all be like, I mean, I feel like getting beat up.
Yeah.
Over and over
yeah.
and over
again. I don't really think any of these guys in this era were using, like, steroids or any of that stuff. Because, okay. like, none of them are big, right?
I think, you're right. They're not, like...
Yeah. A little later, I think there's speculation with Carrie, specifically, with that stuff. And we'll get into that.
Okay.
So, the next brother to, unfortunately, die in a tragic way.
Holy shit. Some people's families really are fucking cursed.
I know. Is Chris Von Erich. So Chris is not in the last picture. So Chris desperately wanted to wrestle like his brothers, but he had chronic asthma his entire life.
Oh.
And the chronic asthma caused him to have brittle bones and it stunted his growth. And he's 5'5".
Whoa.
The rest of his brothers are like 6'4".
Oh, wow.
And there is... Oh, that's wrong family. That's Chris.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he's
normal
a kid.
Foot fucking taller or shorter than the rest of them. Which I don't think he's that. I think he's in his teens there. He's just short. He's just little, which is really fucking sad because he just wanted so badly to be a part of the wrestling family, but he was just a smaller person.
Yeah.
Right? But once Mike dies...
So I didn't know asthma could make your bones brittle.
I didn't know that either. I know. Make your bones brittle and stunt your growth.
Dude, you know, I don't know if you see all the things online about people talking about, like, airways and, like, all how, like, tongue ties and how important it is to make sure that your kids, like, don't mouth breathe because it can change the, like, look of your face and, like, creates all this.
I've heard that, yeah.
I don't know how real that is, but I'm like, sounds similar to what you're saying right here.
Yeah. So, despite the brittle, like... Unfortunately, so Mike dies, David dies. And at this point, Jack Sr. was kind of wanting the Von Erichs to be like a trio. So there's Kevin, Carrie, and now Chris. Originally, David, Kevin, and Carrie.
Out of sons to put up in the...
I know. And then it was Mike, Carrie, and Kevin.
Okay.
But then those two die. And so it's like, Chris, you're up, right? So... Despite having the short stature, he was very buff, honestly, Chris was.
Okay.
But with the brittle bones, he's like he broke both arms in one match. He broke his jaw.
Oh my God.
He just.
Oh no, he can't. He shouldn't be in the ring.
Yeah. No. Unfortunately. So because of the injuries that were happening to him and just like his frustrations with the limitations from his injuries, from his condition, Chris goes into depression. A deep depression. And in 1991, after a breakup with his girlfriend and just the struggles of trying to live up to this Von Erich name, Chris dies by a gunshot wound.
Mm-hmm.
And he is 21.
Wow.
Yeah. Evidently,
they're so young.
I know. So Kevin, one of the brothers, he talked about like how he was talking to Chris that day and he could tell that Chris seemed very manic.
Wow.
And he was like, hey, he's like, are you okay? He's like, don't, you know, we're not doing this. Like, are you okay? Like, do I need to, you know? And Chris is like, no, I'm fine. He literally told Kevin, I'm not going to kill myself.
Oh.
But then he does.
asshole. Who dies by suicide. Yeah, it's really, and I think I'm pretty sure Kevin found him as well.
Oh no.
Yeah, because it's all in the family compound.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the last, I would say, brother in this sequence of deaths is Carrie Von Erich. And that is this one. Mm-hmm. He is the one that is played by Jeremy Allen White in Iron Claw. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So Carrie was known as the Modern Day Warrior and later Texas Tornado in the WWF. Carrie actually makes it to the big leagues.
Okay.
Because Carrie... So the thing about Carrie and David is they had like charisma and what I think the youth would call Riz.
Mm-hmm.
They would sell the persona, the yeah. show. And like Mike didn't really want to be a wrestler, so he didn't really have that type of you know, charisma. Chris was, you know, unfortunately just battered with injuries. And Kevin was athletic and kind of the same body style, but he just like didn't have that persona.
Sure.
So it was really like it was Carrie and David. There were two that were going to be the two that were going to make it.
Okay.
Which is unfortunate because what happens? So in 1986, Carrie suffers a motorcycle accident and he actually crashes a motorcycle into a fucking parked cop car on like his right side and like crushes his right leg and fucks up his foot. It's complete reconstructive surgery on his entire foot and leg. However, because he's a Von Erich and he feels all this pressure, he tries to walk on his foot before it is fully healed.
Oh no, that's bad.
Yes, and it causes them to have to amputate his foot.
Holy shit, no. Mm-hmm.
But then, this is in 1986, Carrie gets to the WWF with a prosthetic foot.
Oh, wow.
He is wrestling with a prosthetic foot. But he covers it up from the public.
Oh, you can't tell. Nobody fucking
knows. Because he's wearing boots
or whatever?
Yes, because he's always wearing his boots.
Holy crap.
Evidently, he would shower with his boots on.
Oh.
Because he didn't want anyone to see. I know, which is like, in this era, also in that era, it would have been so inspirational to see someone in that fucking caliber of athleticism.
As a handicapped person.
As a person with a disability. Or that's like
a disability,
you know,
that we call it now. But yeah. Then they would say handicapped.
Just like wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
With, you know.
An athlete.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know. But it's just unfortunate that there was just this public. He didn't want the public to know. Which really sucks. And I don't know if that would have helped him in the long run. But it certainly didn't help him not say anything, I guess. Oh, yeah. So, Carrie, like I just said, he commits to wrestling. He's still wrestling with a fucking prosthetic. I don't even know if it was a prosthetic.
There was something
in his boot, and like he basically like his leg ended, but like it looked like he saw the foot.
Wow.
And there's been people, I guess, like talking about like going back and watching his matches and trying to see if they could tell.
Right.
Which couldn't fucking tell, which just speaks how like athletic this guy was.
Yeah.
You know,
damn.
So
they're like running
in the ring, right? And because he was doing all of this and like kind of pretending just to have his right foot, he gets a pretty big dependence on painkillers because it had to be incredibly fucking painful.
Yeah, absolutely.
To do this. Yeah. So he's keeping up this facade. He's in the WWF. He wins one of the big awards. I can't fucking remember which one it was. He won a belt at some point, and it was a big deal. So, yeah. So he's in the WWF. He won some sort of title. I can't remember the name of it or what it was at this point. I don't know. He won a belt at some point. But he is eventually kind of tiered down to do like what they called the house matches, which are like not the matches that they televised.
Got it. Okay.
So he's still wrestling for the WWF, but he's kind of seeing the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
And at this point he had one drug charge against him, probably for the painkillers and other stuff, right? There's also some speculation that maybe he was using steroids at this point.
Okay.
Because Carrie was built like everyone calls him like a Greek god.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And he was like the one that the women wanted. Everyone swooned over, right? But he started getting a lot bigger. And so people were kind of speculating that maybe he was doing some steroid use and stuff. But
1993, he's facing more legal troubles for drug charges, and this would be his second offense, which then makes it a federal charge.
Oh, okay.
And means that he'll probably be facing some prison time. Mm. And he's also had gotten divorced. So he took like two months off from the WWF and like basically went and got divorced. It didn't seem like it was a good divorce. Pretty ugly. Carrie dies by suicide with a gunshot wound at his father's ranch. And he shoots himself in the heart.
Wow.
And he was 33.
Wow.
Yeah. So Kevin is still alive. Kevin's the only brother left, literally.
That is wild.
Yeah. So five of the six Von Erichs pass away. Doris leaves Jack in 1992 because she's like, it's your fault all my sons are dead.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if I blame her. Jack dies in 1997. He has lung cancer that metastasized to his brain. Mm. And like 6 weeks after he's diagnosed, he's done. He's gone.
Yeah.
So Kevin's the only one from that family that's still around. The Von Erichs are inducted to the Wrestling Hall of Fame in 2009.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. That's nice. And two of Kevin's kids are wrestlers.
Wow.
In like that modern day. Fucking, yeah.
Do
in
they
modern
use day. The same name?
I think they still use Von Erichs.
Why not? Your family's in the Wrestling Hall of Fame?
I guess. I mean, like it's funny because I'm actually... Carrie did not go by Carrie Von Erich when he was in WWF because evidently Vince McMahon and Jack had some sort of beef.
Oh, okay.
And sure. So he was like, fuck you. You can't go by Von Erich here. Oh. That's why he went by the Texas Tornado.
Oh, they just gave
he
him
He also couldn't do the, because all the boys, they all the did like the finishing, thing. The iron claw finishing move. He wasn't allowed to use that as a finishing move. Which Vince McMahon's a piece of fucking shit.
I know Vince McMahon is a twat.
We are Vince McMahon haters. We're like actually just McMahon haters because fucking what's her face? Secretary of Education can suck my dick.
That bitch can get it too. And not in a good way.
No, no.
These hands.
She can get these hands. She can get this claw. Get this claw. So some of the Von Erichs are still around. They're still like in wrestling, which wow. I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, they know, right?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, obviously, I think the story is more popular now because of the movie.
Yeah.
Which I think there's only three brothers in the movie.
Okay.
So they're not even...
like a snippet in time.
Yeah, they're not even acknowledging all of the tragedy.
It's like, we have to cut this somewhere.
Like, this is... Someone is going to...
Yes.
You know, yeah.
Right.
All right. So that will lead us to our final cursed family. One that you just alluded to.
The Kennedy.
The Kennedys. So this family has been chairman, U.S. ambassadors, senators, and even the president of the United States.
Twice. Two different Kennedy presidents, right?
We, no.
Only had one dog. I thought that the baby brother was...
He was a senator.
Oh, okay. God, I know a lot about politics.
Wow.
I would cut that.
Oh, I am fucking nuts. Listen, American public education has failed us. Continues to, which is why we hate fucking McMahons.
Full circle.
God, I'm dying. Fucking circle.
Sorry, the one and only.
Yeah.
The one and only.
JFK.
Bobby was the other one, Robert?
Yeah, Robert. Okay. Yeah. So, but with that success, they've also been plagued with numerous tragic events, and they're often referred to as America's royal family, the Kennedys. Yep,
they are.
Mm-hmm. And this is all
And
of
one
them.
Of them dated Taylor Swift.
What?
Uh-huh. Not one of them, but one of a Kennedy, like, cousin, nephew or something.
Okay, I did not know that.
Yep.
I know
the tea.
Yeah. You know the tea, but not the history.
I know what their fucking jobs were, whatever.
You know the tea, but not the history. That was stupid. I won't cut that either. So I'm going to give you just these Kennedys, the family tree.
These are the OGs. Mm-hmm. Where is that one sister? Rosemary. There she is. Okay.
We will talk about her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is she allowed in the family tree or not?
She's like, no, fuck. Okay. So I'm going to go in a little bit of like an insequential order for this one. I'm also not going to talk about the more famous Kennedy stories, I will say.
Okay.
And I will tell you why.
So the first or one of the most major tragedies in the Kennedy family is Joseph Kennedy Jr., which is the firstborn Kennedy to Joseph and Rose. So it's Joe Kennedy Jr. So Joseph P. Kennedy Jr. was the eldest son of Joseph P. Kennedy Sr. and Rose Kennedy, and the older brother to JFK. So he's born in 1915. He was groomed by his father for political greatness.
Oh, yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. They wanted him to do it.
Mm-hmm. The family believed he would be the Kennedy's first U.S. president,
mm-hmm.
not JFK or whatever other one that Meg thinks.
Sorry. I will stop making fun of you. Okay.
No, I think it's actually
perfect.
So
perfect.
In World War II, Joe Jr. was a pilot, where he flew a PB-4Y Liberator.
That is so hot.
I know. And he is pretty hot. Yes. And so this is the Navy's version of a B-24 bomber.
Okay.
And he was basically on anti-submarine patrols and combat missions in Europe over the Atlantic. He's fucking doing it.
Yeah.
Right?
That's oof.
Yeah. So
or...
Yeah. So Joe Jr. had already completed more than his required number of missions and it could have gone home. But he volunteered for a dangerous experimental mission, which is called Operation Aphrodite.
Oh, okay.
Have you heard this?
No.
Okay. So the idea was old B-52 bombers, or B-24 bombers. Sorry. I keep thinking of the band. Rock Lobster.
It's funny because don't they do Love Shack as well? But yeah. You're like, no, Rock Lobster is the one.
That's what pops in my head. I don't know why.
It's because of Family Guy for me.
It probably is because of Family Guy. So the B-24 bombers would be packed with explosives, and a crew of two men would take off with the explosives in the B-24. They would arm the explosives in the air, and they would set the plane on autopilot or remote control, and they would bail out the plane, and then the aircraft would be radio-guided or autopiloted into targets, which were usually German rocket launch sites.
Got it. Okay.
So it's not kamikaze.
No. This is a better way to do it.
Yes.
Now
they jump out with...
We're building these...
Now we have drones.
That drive themselves.
Yeah. AKA a drone.
Yes, exactly.
So on August 12th, 1944, Joe Kennedy Jr. and Lieutenant Wilford Willie... God... Sorry.
It's just
a lot of W's.
Broke my brain.
It's like, I think you said it right.
I did. You were just like, what is that?
Literally, it's Will Willie. Oh, this poor man. I'm sorry.
No, I'm Willie's his nickname. Right? It would be Wilford.
Finish his name? Okay.
We'll call him Will.
We'll call him Will. Okay, so they were assigned to fly a modified B-24 loaded with over 21,000 pounds of Torpex, which is a powerful explosive from the time. Hmm. And the mission launched from an airfield in Blythburgh, England. And the target was a German V weapon site in northern France, because it's still a French occupied.
Year was this? Sorry, did we talk about that?
Yeah, I gave you a whole ass fucking date. August 12th, 1944.
Okay, so this is before... Oh, God, I'm about to be stupid again.
I was going to put D-Day?
Was it before the war or during? After. During.
That's 100% during.
During. Okay.
Wow.
Listen, I have to say this. I actually want to get on a soapbox for a second.
Yeah, go for it.
It's not just the American school system. I was fucking homeschooled by my parents, my mother, for like a portion of time that you would learn this. And that's why I'm staunchly fucking against homeschooling unless you are an educator. Because now I think there are two Kennedy presidents.
Let this be
child abuse, frankly.
Right. Let this be
a lesson to you.
PSA.
Oh, I will.
Yeah.
So box about it all the damn time.
I like it. Okay. So, all right. So
it's not my shame. It's my parents' shame.
Exactly. I like it. Okay. Just project that some. So shortly after takeoff, while over Suffolk, England, something went catastrophically wrong with this mission. At about 6,000 feet before Kennedy and Willie could bail out, the explosives detonated prematurely, killing both of the men instantly.
Yeah.
Evidently, you could hear this for miles away.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
like,
God.
That's a lot of explosives to blow up at once. So, Joe Jr. is
toast.
Gone. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's, you know what? It's not the worst way to go.
No, I mean, you probably didn't know.
Exactly. Any,
like, you were just out, right?
You were just gone. It's like that submarine implosion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So another candidate to die young during this era was Kathleen, or her nickname was Kick Kennedy.
That's cute.
Mm-hmm. I know. I thought that was cute, too. Do you know this one? Know
this I story? Don't think I know this okay. one.
So Kathleen was born in 1920 and is the fourth child of Joseph
okay.
and Rose. And she's known for her charm and independence. She became a favorite in British high society when her father was the U.S. ambassador to the U.K. in the 1930s.
Oh.
Which I did not know that.
I didn't either.
Yeah. So during World War II, she volunteered with the Red Cross and fell in love with a William Billy Cavendish. And he was the Marquis of Harrington, heir to the Duke of Devonshire.
Did you say Cavendish?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So she wants to get married to him, but frowned upon with Rose and Joseph. And
really?
Yeah. So they get married in 1984.
She doesn't.
1944. But this causes tension within the Kennedy family because Billy was an Anglican. Not Catholic.
Got it. Oh, yes. They were famously Catholic.
Mm-hmm. And, but Kathleen was like, fuck you, mom. Fuck you, dad. I'm out of here.
It's kind of the same thing. Sorry.
Who the fuck cares?
It's so weird.
Oh, God. It's so annoying.
It's like the two same.
It's not even like goddamn family. It's like fucking whatever.
God, the amount of. Oh,
yeah. So Kathleen.
Dumb things I've said in this episode.
Whatever. So Kathleen, she goes through with the marriage. She's like, I don't care. I love this guy. I'm getting married to him. Fuck you, mom. Fuck you, dad.
And it's not like they're chums.
I know.
Christ.
Fucking the Duke of Devonshire.
She's like, let me go be a fucking duchess.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Right? I'm going to be Fergie over in the UK. Yeah. My London Bridge is going.
God, poor Fergie.
I know. No, I don't know how I feel about that. Okay.
She was married to that gross piece of shit.
Which one?
Wasn't she married to the Chimo one?
I don't think so.
Yeah, Albert. Yes? What's his name?
What? I was talking about Fergalicious Fergie. Who the fuck?
Are you serious? Oh, God, I need my phone because I'm like the fact that... Okay, hold on. We're going to have to pause.
Okay. Pause. Okay, Meg has to do something. Meg has to educate me on something else. All right. Do you want to educate me?
Sarah Ferguson is who I was thinking of, which was married to Prince Andrew.
Who is a piece of shit.
Who is the one that we talked about earlier.
Yeah. He is on Epstein's list for sure.
Yes. Oh, for sure. Yes. Yeah, so his wife, Sarah Ferguson, he has two children with her.
Okay.
Princess Eugenie, and I don't know what the other one's name is.
Yeah.
And they call her Fergie. So that's who I thought you were talking about. Why the fuck were you talking about Fergie?
Because you said the Duchess singer. And I made a joke about Fergie. She could have been Fergie.
She must have made that as like a...
I don't know what could be
Fergie that. Was the Duchess. Oh, wait. Was she a princess? What are you when you're married to a prince?
Princess. Yeah.
I think maybe that's when she got divorced. She became a fucking Duchess.
I truly don't know.
I don't know how that
it's
works.
It's way too complicated.
Yeah.
They're all fucking inbred.
I know, but do you know what? She did escape from him, and she was like a pop culture fave.
Oh, good for her.
Uh-huh. That's why I was like, she had to be married to that. I know. That's how I was like, this is too weird that this is happening.
Well, the thing is, when you were talking shit about Fergie's ex-husband.
Josh Duhamel.
Who was like your crush.
He's a very good-looking man.
Yeah, he's always been like your Hollywood crush, I've thought. And I was like, oh, shit.
It's just that, like, I saw him. You know what? He's all right. There's like a. Never mind. It's a rabbit hole. So I'll stop.
Yeah, we should stop.
It's boring.
Now. Yeah. Because we're going to need to stop. Because I need to go back to the story.
Okay.
So only after. So 4 months after their wedding of Kick and Billy, Billy was killed in action in Belgium in September 1944.
Four months?
They only got married for... Yeah, they were married for 4 months.
And during the war?
And during the war.
Yeah, okay.
Which makes Kathleen a widow at the age of 24.
Whoa.
I know.
You don't... I was about to say something stupid again. I'm like, you don't see a lot of...
Young widows. Yeah, because we're not in fucking World War time, dog.
I know, but...
Give us a couple years.
I'm like, there obviously are young widows. Yeah. I've never met one.
Yeah, just give it a couple God years. Willing. We got RFK fucking running mm-hmm. the Department of Health in the ground.
Like, don't worry. We'll get there.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Probably another war at some point. You know,
I'm just really looking forward to it. Okay.
So after the war, Kathleen stayed in England and in British high society. She's like, fuck it, I must stay over here.
Yeah.
And then in May of 1948, Kathleen was involved with Peter Fitzwilliam, the 8th Earl Fitzwilliam.
There's nothing less sexy than that.
There's, yeah, you need two fucking names.
I don't like it.
I don't even barely care about a middle name. It's just a novelty at this point.
I can tolerate a junior, but the third is when it starts really kind of like...
The eighth
Earl? I'm drying up.
The eighth Earl Fitzwilliam?
No.
Fucked, bro.
I don't like it. It's just the image that conjures, the type of like man it conjures for me is not
right.
The vibe. Yeah.
Pinkies.
I'm an American. Out. We like a blue collar man. I'm sorry.
We want a blue collar man that is also votes blue.
Those are hard to find.
Those are hard to find. They are diamonds in the roughs.
They can be hard to find.
Yeah. Gotta find the right areas though.
So the Peter Fitzwilliam, he's married, but he is seeking a divorce. And Kathleen's kind of involved with him.
Their relationship was definitely considered scandalous for the time because, you know, of Peter's marital status and his kind of reputation as like a playboy, bad boy, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
But on May 13th, 1948, Kathleen and Peter die in a plane crash.
No.
When they're flying from England to France. They're going to like try to go to the French Riviera in like a private plane.
Yeah, these private planes, man.
Mm-hmm. It was Kathleen, it was Peter, and then the crew were killed, unfortunately.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah. So Kathleen is buried next to Billy in England, and the only Kennedy to attend her funeral is Joe Sr. Her fucking mom has still got a grudge about her marrying somebody else.
Seriously?
Uh-huh. She doesn't go to the funeral. And she doesn't let any of the kids. Yeah. She doesn't let any of the kids go.
Well, thank God the dad did, but Jesus. Well,
Joe only goes to save face.
Oh, because it would be just like such a terrible. And wasn't he like in British society?
He was an ambassador.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Damn.
I know.
That's cold.
I know.
No wonder she didn't fucking go back home after her husband died.
Seriously. So both of these occurrences are incredibly tragic, but the darkest and perhaps the beginning of the misfortune for the Kennedy family is the story of Rose Mary Kennedy.
God, there's so many.
I know.
Sorry, you can talk about the...
We'll get into it.
I was like, there's so many.
I know. We'll get into it. So Rose Marie, but she goes by Rosemary, which is a little confusing.
It's different. Two different names.
Her name is Rose Marie. She goes by Rosemary Kennedy. So she was born in 1918, and she is the third child of Joe and Rose Kennedy. So it's Joe, JFK, Rose.
And then the daughter. Kathleen.
Okay. Yeah. So as a child, Rosemary exhibited some developmental delays and learning difficulties. And though the exact diagnosis is kind of unclear, some people say maybe she just had some undiagnosed mental illness, like bipolar disorder, you know, or depression.
I had heard that, like, they didn't give birth to her right away.
Yes, I've heard that, too.
Do we not know, like, if that's...
I don't know. There was, like, a little bit of a mixed bag on that.
Yeah.
But, like, basically, she...
Could have not been... I don't know what like, the
story
was.
They made her wait to push.
Yes.
I think they're waiting for a doctor or something.
I thought so, too. Yeah. So, like, babies... Like, she was supposed to have been born, and then, like... Was kept in the birth canal too long.
Yeah, like the nurse like kept her in there. I think it was something crazy like that.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
I've heard that. So, but yeah, no doubt that could potentially cause all kinds of
issues. Sure. But I mean, it's just a fucking mirage.
Yes,
across the board. But just something was
and like
going
by today's standards, it was mild.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is the horrific part of this.
She probably was like a little more opinionated.
I know.
You know.
And like, yeah, anyway,
yeah, like one of my favorite stories is about Teddy Roosevelt's daughter, who was just a fucking an unhinged woman. And I guess Teddy Roosevelt was basically like, I can either control my daughter or I can run the fucking country. I can't do both.
Oh,
I have to look up her name. I can't remember her. It was hilarious. Diva. Yeah. Diva. So despite these difficulties, Rosemary was active in social circles and was even part of British high society, right, along with her sister, Kathleen. However, as she grew older, her mood swings, erratic behavior, and difficulty controlling her emotions became more apparent. Mm. So just maybe needed some medication or something, you know? Sure. Mm-hmm. So she was reported to have violent outbursts and became increasingly difficult for the family to manage, especially for Joseph Sr. and his political ambitions for his son. For his sons, plural. It's like, can't do this. No, no, no.
Yeah, yeah. You know? You're messy.
So that is when in 1941, before any of the other shit happened, Joe Sr. heard about a brand new procedure that was supposed to cure people who had conditions like this.
Listen, one time in college, I did a presentation mm-hmm. on this procedure. Mm-hmm. And of course,
yeah, the prefrontal lobotomy.
Yes, we talked about Ms. Rosemary Kennedy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the operation involved severing connections in the brain's frontal lobes, which doctors at the time believed could reduce agitation, aggression, or severe mental illness. We will at some point do a whole ass fucking episode on the lobotomy, because you just have to, right? So it was very experimental procedure at the time in 1941, and it was only performed on a few dozen patients worldwide.
Before mm-hmm. they're like, yeah, try it.
And the outcomes were highly unpredictable at this point.
I know, dude.
Yeah. So without informing his family, including his fucking wife.
Oh, I thought the mom was to co-sign it. I had no idea.
No, it sounds like she. Yeah.
Okay. He was like, I'm just going to handle
it. That's also a little bit speculation. So she claims after that she didn't know.
Oh.
Whether or not she did know.
Well, she sounds like a right bitch anyway.
I know. So. I know. Yeah. Like, honestly. So, like, both of them suck. So, Joe Sr. schedules this procedure for Rosemary. I want to call her Rosemary for some reason. So, in November 1941, at George Washington University Hospital, Dr. Walter Freeman and Dr. James Watts perform a lobotomy on Rosemary Kennedy. So, according to accounts, while Rosemary was under only mild sedation, the surgeons asked her awake. To recite nursery rhymes and perform tasks as they gradually cut into her brain tissue. So, when she stops responding or her speech became incoherent, they ended the operation. And the results were fucking catastrophic.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. It's just like a shot in the dark. Let's just like dink, yeah. dink.
Just poking dink, around dink. In there.
I know. It's oh, fucked. Okay. All right. Oh, maybe a little too far. Mm-hmm.
Sorry about it.
Jesus.
You're fucked forever. So Rosemary was left permanently incapacitated.
Oh my God.
She lost most of her ability to speak. She could not walk without assistance. And she only could function at the level of a young child for the rest of her life.
You fucking damn near killed her.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Jesus. Oh, okay. Now how... Is that going to be handled
right
in your political aspirations?
She was institutionalized for the rest of her life, and they basically just
abandoned her.
Didn't talk about her.
Yes.
And she dies in 2005 at the age of 86.
Fuck.
Just the
biggest, it's a crime that happened to her.
It is a crime. Yeah. They...
So bad.
It's so bad. So most believe that the Kennedy family curse began with Joe Kennedy's selfish choice to silence his daughter Rosemary, and that the price that would be paid... were the deaths of Joe Jr., Kathleen, and the assassinations of JFK and Robert F. Kennedy 2 decades later. The Kennedy family curse wouldn't stop there, though. Ted Kennedy was involved in a car accident that killed his passenger, Mary Jo Capocci. Mm-hmm. And the children of the Kennedys also have experienced multiple tragedies, drug overdoses, ski accidents, plane crashes, and even Michael Skakel, the nephew of Robert's widow, Ethel, was convicted of killing Martha Moxley in 2002.
Okay, that's the one. I was like, are we talking about the Skakel?
That one's...
They're connected, though.
They are connected. Mm-hmm. So perhaps the greatest curse these families carried was not one written in prophecy or whispered by fate, but the heavy burden of expectation placed upon their shoulders. For the Von Erichs, it was the demand to uphold the wrestling dynasty, even when bodies broke and spirits faltered. For the Kennedys, it was the relentless drive for political power and perfection, where failure or scandal was never an option. Mm. And for Nepal's ruling family, it was the duty to preserve a fragile throne, bound by tradition, prophecy, and the eyes of an entire nation. In each case... The myth of a curse may simply be our way of explaining what happens when ambition, legacy, and the pressure to live up to an impossible standard collide with the vulnerability of being human.
That was really good.
Thank you. I thought it was.
That's really good. I was like, that bitch tied it up.
I did.
And that is family curses.
And that is why, if you're hiring a witsy itch, it better be for some good and not for some
bad
shit.
You said a witsy itch. Just want to let you know that.
You know, whatever those thingamabobs
are called. Witsy itch. That's going to be my Etsy witch shop. Witsy I'm going to be witsy itch. I'm going to sell fake curses because I'm not a witch, unfortunately.
People would buy them.
Oh, they would. But yeah, I know that's not necessarily a quote unquote spooky season.
It's fucking spooky. That shit's real.
It's great. I mean, that, like I said, that is the tip of the iceberg when it comes to family curses. Mm-hmm. There are many more. So perhaps we'll do some more later. TBD.
TBD, I loved it. Thank you.
Thank you. Fantastic. You're welcome. And that's it for this week. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate you. Keep rating, keep reviewing, keep subscribing. Tell your friends, tell your wife, tell your Etsy witch.
Your Etsy witch.
She'd like us. She'd laugh. She'd think we're fun. Yes. But until next time,
stay grimly curious.
Witsy itch.
Thank you so much for listening. Music by Alex Kingston and Adam McKinnon.
For podcast photos and updates, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Grimly Podcast.
Be sure to rate and review, and we will see you next week for another episode. Bye, bitch.